Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Believer, it is our marching orders. Yes. So how are we doing with our part of fulfilling the Great Commission? You know, the New Testament church, they were zealous about spreading the gospel, and that's why they were said to have turned the world upside down in their generation. And their zeal, their fervency to share the gospel came from being filled with the Spirit. Acts 1:8, a verse that most of us, because we're in a Pentecostal church, are familiar with. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Someone has said that the Holy Spirit is the energizer of the church. The Holy Spirit energizes us to evangelize with a holy passion for the lost. He gives us the heart. He gives us the drive. He gives us the zeal. He gives us the boldness to reach the world with the gospel, which was evident immediately in the early church, when right after the church got filled, 120 in the upper room, got filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood. This is the same Peter that we looked at last week that denied Jesus the night of his arrest and then wanted to go back fishing. You remember that Peter? Now, this is that same Peter who was scared before. And now he stands up before a crowd of thousands, many of whom are hostile to Jesus. And he begins to preach the gospel, saying, "This same Jesus whom you have crucified, he, God, has exalted to the right hand of the Father. And he has now poured forth this which you now see and hear." And he preaches this powerful sermon with boldness. And we know that at the end, that over 3,000 people asked, "What must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent and turn to God and be baptized, each one of you, and you shall be saved." But we see that immediately after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had this passion and they had this boldness to share the gospel. And the gospel continued to spread outward from Jerusalem in ever-widening circles to Judea and then to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth in one generation, in their generation. You know, but oftentimes we tend to focus on the victorious expansion of the gospel in the book of Acts, but it was not without challenges. These early believers dealt with some of the same issues that hindered us from sharing the gospel. And so today, we're going to look at two of the main issues that hindered the early church and us from fulfilling God's mission, and we're going to see how they overcame it so that we can overcome it as well. And I pray that the passion of our heart will be reignited by the Spirit today to fulfill God's mission in our time, in this community, because the time is short. Amen? The first thing I want us to see is that we need to pray for God to help move us out of our comfort zone. See, being content to stay within our comfort zone keeps us from fulfilling God's mission. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem." They got that part. Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Jerusalem was the folks most similar to them, Jewish folks, right? So they were comfortable in that context. And so they began to reach out. Once they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to spread the gospel in Jerusalem. And guess what? A lot of people started to get saved. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 a few days later when Peter and John were on their way to the temple and a lame man got healed and Peter preached and a crowd of 5,000 received Christ. And so the church was growing by leaps and bounds in Jerusalem and in a matter of days became a mega church. That's wonderful. But what about Judea? What about Samaria? What about the ends of the earth? You see, they had become so comfortable with the familiar. After all, they had the best preachers in the church of Jerusalem, right? They had the 12 apostles. Who would want anything more? They had the best preachers. It would be like a church today having an all-star lineup of preachers like T.D. Jakes, Andy Stanley, Robert Morris, Stephen Furtick, and we could go on with some of those other popular preachers. Who would want to leave a church like that and go out and spread the gospel? And they just want to come in and be fed and be fed and be fed. You know what happens when you keep eating and you keep eating and you don't expend any energy? You get fat. You get sluggish. You get sick. And that happens physically. And it happens spiritually as well. So they were there. They were contented to remain in the church in Jerusalem. It was their comfort zone. It was people like them. And you know what? That's what they did for 4 years. They stayed in Jerusalem. We all like to stay in our comfort zones. We have that invisible barrier around us that makes us feel safe, that makes us feel secure, and for lack of a better word, comfortable. We are comfortable with people that are familiar to us, with people that are like us. But to fulfill God's mission, we have to move out of our comfort zones. When I did my ministerial internship as a senior in Bible college, one of my tasks was to go out with the evangelism ministry of the church where I was serving on Saturdays. And they went into an area called the Bottoms. You can just imagine what the Bottoms was like. It was a very highly drug-infested, high-crime area in that particular city. And so it was far from my comfort zone. And I can still remember every Saturday morning when I was getting dressed to go, my heart would start to race. Not in a good way. Every Saturday morning, I knew we were going out into the Bottoms. On one occasion, we ministered to a lady that had just gotten out of prison for stabbing her husband and almost killing him. I don't know if it was her husband, might have been her boyfriend. But she had just got out of prison, and she was fierce. You know, you stood trying to share the gospel with her, and you were like, Jesus, just give me strength, just calm my nerves. On another occasion, I sat in a living room sharing Jesus with a lady while I could see the roaches dancing on the wall. And I'm trying to witness to her, but inside I'm praying, Jesus, please don't let one crawl on me because I'm going to scream and I'm going to run out of here. But you know what? I could tell you many stories. It was an interesting experience every Saturday. I could tell you one house we went into, and they're having breakfast with beer, and they're trying to offer us beer as we're trying to tell them about Jesus. But I'm telling you something. That experience broke me out of my comfort zone, and it made me more comfortable sharing the gospel under all circumstances with all different kinds of people, and I'm still growing in that area. Amen? We need to step out of our comfort zone. There are people outside of our comfort zone that are lost, and they need Jesus. Amen? Last week, I went out with the evangelism team. After we had our evangelism training, we had a Saturate Saturday, and it was beautiful. I mean, the people were so open. Of the 5 apartment buildings we did, bottom floor and top floor, we only had one person turn us away and say, no, I'm not interested. But I stepped out of my comfort zone in that way, too, because there were a lot of Hispanic people over there, and y'all know my Spanglish is real bad. But we met several people that I had to witness to in Spanish. And I was just like, Jesus, just help me supernaturally, give me the words to say. And something must have been working because one of them even invited us inside their house. Amen. And we were able to pray for them. And so, you know, we have to step outside of our comfort zone. As the light of the world, we don't need to be all the time just around other lights. We need to go out in the darkness. That's where they need the light most. We are called to be the salt of the earth. And for salt to be useful, it's got to get out of the salt shaker. It's of no use while it's still in the salt shaker. You got to turn it upside down, shake it out, and apply it to whatever you're going to eat. And we are called to be the salt of the earth, which means we've got to get out of the salt shaker and get applied to the earth. That's exactly what God did to that church that was content for 4 years to stay in Jerusalem. He shook them up. See, if we don't move out of our comfort zone in obedience to Christ, God will find a way to move us. Come on now.
That's right.
In Acts 1:8, this was God's solution to shake them up out of the salt shaker. It says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church. Where? In Jerusalem. And all the believers except the apostles were scattered. God shook up the church, sprinkled them throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Folks, it took persecution to shake up the church and get them out of the salt shaker so that they would reach those other areas that Jesus told them to. Sometimes God's got to shake us up to get us to move out of our comfort zone, to take the gospel to people who are different than to, and to places that we wouldn't ordinarily go. I know that by experience. 6 years ago, when I got diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, it's not something I would have ever chosen for myself, but it shook my life up. It shook my routine up, and it got me outside the church walls where most of my ministry is generally concentrated. And I was going to different doctor's appointments, sitting around people that were all diagnosed with cancer in one of the greatest crises of their life. I was going for chemo treatment, sitting for 8 hours with people getting chemo treatment. And every time I went, God enabled me to share Jesus with somebody. And every single time, every day for 35 days, I was getting radiation. And every time I went and I was sitting in the room with the other people, I was able to share Jesus with people I would never otherwise have been able to share Jesus with. If I went to those places and said, I'm a pastor, I want to come in and talk to your cancer patients about Jesus, they would slam the door in my face. But God had me there as an undercover agent. He took me into a place where I would not normally go. And God opened up glorious opportunities to share the gospel every single time. I remember the last chemo treatment that I was there was a new patient there, and I just spent the whole day sharing Jesus with her. And when they started to disconnect me to leave, she said, oh, can you please pray for me, which I was going to do anyway, but she jumped the gun on me because they were still disconnecting me. And she said, can you pray for me, please, before you leave? And I said, certainly. And so I stepped over and laid hands on her shoulder, and about that time, the chemo nurse who was in her office, she came running out, and she said, I want in on this. Pray for me, too. And I was able to pray for them. One of the times I was getting radiation, I'm laid out on the radiation table and they're hooking me up. And the Lord says, I want you to witness to the radiology tech that was working on me. And so I started a conversation with her. And before you know it, she starts pouring her whole heart out to me. She was going through a very difficult time. She starts crying. And I'm like, God, please don't let her make a mistake while she's crying and her eyes are all, you know, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth, all right? And so I prayed with her and encouraged her to find a church in her area and what have you. And then the following week, which was my next to last week of treatment, I got her and another radiology tech that I had witnessed to. I got them both an easy to understand New Living Translation Bible. I inscribed it, thanking them for their kindness and compassion and how they made the journey easier. And I gave it to both of them, and they cried and they hugged me. And they said, you know, they didn't have spiritual language for this. So they said, you have such a different aura. They said, every time you come in here, you bring such peace and such joy. You are different than all the other patients that we work with. Amen. Then the final week I come back, and the girl that was crying the week before while she hooked me up, hooking me up to the machine again, and she leans over next to my ear and she said, you know that book you gave me? And I said, uh-huh. She said, I keep it now on my bedside table, and I'm reading it every night before I go to bed, and I'm finding such peace. And she said, and I found a church in my area, because she's up in Deerfield, quite a distance from here. She said, I found a church in my area, and I went the first time with my child on Sunday, and I'm going to keep going. Can you say praise God? Amen. I would never have come across her path if it hadn't been the way that God shook me up and put me in that context. Amen. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't wish cancer on anybody. I wouldn't choose it again if it was my choice. But I'll tell you, God did such a thing in my heart that he reignited my passion for reaching the lost through that experience. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. In Acts 8:4 it says, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. The believers who were scattered. Where has God scattered you?
Go ahead, Pastor.
And are you preaching the gospel? God sometimes has to shake us out of our complacency. Yes. Yes. He has to shake us out of our comfort zones so we will take the good news to people and places that we would not otherwise have reached. But when God shakes us up out of our comfort zones, we need to do what these early believers did. They did not agonize, oh, woe is me, why I'm going through this. They didn't agonize, they evangelized. They didn't have a pity party and say, oh, I feel so sorry for my... Instead of being refugees, they became missionaries. Instead of seeing themselves displaced from their home, they realized that they had been sent by God.
Go ahead, Pastor.
They found purpose in their persecution.
Yes.
And wherever they went, they preached the gospel.
Thank you.
And don't let the word preach throw you, because some people say, I can't preach. The actual Greek word there would more literally, as scholars say, be translated gossiping. Gossiping. So it's not talking about preaching from a pulpit. They were gossiping the gospel. It's talking about an informal kind of chattering and conversation with friends and acquaintances in their homes, in the marketplace, in shops, and just in the daily course of life. Normally, when we think of gossip, we think about talking negatively about other people, slandering other people, or spreading rumors about other people. But gossiping the gospel is passing on the good news of Jesus by ordinary people in everyday conversations as we go about our lives. Gossip to the person who works in the desk next to you. Gossip the gospel to the person who checks you out at the grocery store. Gossip the gospel when you're sitting in the doctor's office. Everywhere you go, talk about Jesus. There's too much of the other kind of gossip. Let's gossip the gospel everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Evangelism can be as easy as having a conversation about Jesus is and what he has done in your life. That's what we did when we went through these apartments. We just knocked on the door, said we're from a church just in the neighborhood right down the block. We just want to let you know God loves you and he cares about you. Is there anything we could pray for you about? And every single person except one said, you can pray for my health, you can pray for my finances, you can pray that we get a job.
Yeah,
and then we began, after we prayed, we began to turn the conversation, talk to them about Jesus, and last Saturday alone, we had 9 people that accepted Jesus, amen, just because we went. And many others, the seed was sown. One lady in our congregation, Raquel, she's around here somewhere. Raquel, where are you at? There she is. She shared with me many years ago that her and her husband came to the Lord through a neighbor who used to talk to them over the fence, gossiping the gospel to them, talking to them about Jesus. And that's how they gave their heart to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to challenge each and every one of you. Pray this week and ask God to open doors in your everyday conversations to sow the seed of the gospel, and then look for those open doors and step through it. Let's move out of our comfort zones and share the gospel. Secondly, pray for God to give you boldness to overcome the fear of rejection. You know, after the healing of the lame man at the gate, beautiful, right? 5,000 people come to Christ. The religious leaders are upset. They have Peter and John arrested. They beat them and they threaten them never to speak in the name of Jesus again. Did they cower in fear? Did they back down and say, okay, we're not going to mention the name of Jesus again? No. The Bible says once they were released, they went back to their own company and they called a prayer meeting. And this was their prayer in Acts 4:29 through 31. After praising God's greatness and sovereignty, they prayed, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and make them nice to us. It doesn't say that. Now hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled, actually refilled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with great what?
Boldness.
Folks, the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be up here, because people who know me on a personal level know that I am very shy. If it's left up to me, I come in like quiet, like a church mouse, sit on the back row and don't say a thing. I'm very shy. But it's the Holy Spirit that has given me the boldness to do what I do. Amen. And if he's done it for me, he can do it for you as well. We need to fight fear with fear. What do I mean? The biggest thing that stops Christians from evangelizing is fear. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:28, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. So don't be afraid of people who want to persecute you or stone you or whatever. We don't face that here yet, thank God. But that's what he's saying to his disciples. He said, they can't touch your soul.
That's right.
So he's saying, don't fear man. They can't touch your soul. But then he says, fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fearing God is not about being frightened by God. One writer says that to fear God is being magnetically attracted to, possessed with, and awed by his all-compelling majesty. Fearing God is a deep, loving reverence that recognizes that he is the one true God and he is worthy of our praise. So Jesus says, don't be afraid of what men can do. Don't be afraid that they'll reject you. Don't be afraid that they'll curse at you. Don't be afraid that they'll persecute you. Instead, fear God. Honor him. Fall in love with him. Let him captivate your heart, and that will enable you to overcome the fear of men. When the greatness, the gloriousness, and the awesomeness of God fills your heart, it is going to flow from your lips. It is going to enable you to conquer the fear of men. So pray and seek God that he will give you boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome fear. And let me just say this. What fills your heart will flow from your lips. Do you know that we are natural evangelists? People are constantly evangelizing about what fills their heart. They're constantly telling others about what they hold important and what they find great joy in. So picture the sports fan. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. And the sports fan, they're always wanting to talk about their team. I see some of you wearing your team merchandise. You're advertising, you're evangelizing for your team. Pastor Chris is around here in a Patriots jersey, even though I don't think they're playing, but he's in his Patriots jersey. Elizabeth is back there on the live stream in her Saints jersey. So what they're doing is they're evangelizing for their teams. Amen. They're telling people about their team. And a lot of times I hear the sports conversation. Oh, this team is in the playoffs. Oh, this team got knocked out. Oh, my team. They're evangelizing for their team. Or you watch the latest hit movie and you go around and you tell everybody, oh, man, you got to see it. It is so good. What are you doing? You're evangelizing for that movie. And yet we do it for everything else. We find it hard to do it for Jesus. One pastor shared how after an evangelism workshop in his church, he was speaking to an individual, and the individual said, oh, pastor, I can't do what you do. I'm no good with words. And this was an admission the pastor said he had heard time and again, but he always found it strange because generally, this admission would follow after several minutes of conversation about sports or weather or the person's kids or a movie that they had seen. And he said they were perfectly able to talk about all these other subjects without feeling awkward, without pausing, without stumbling over their words. They had no problem with words when it came to any other topic except their faith in Jesus.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. And he said, the problem is fear. We just don't fear God enough, so we allow the fear of man to rule in our heart. Hallelujah. Folks, it's all about what fills our heart. What fills our heart will flow from our lips, and we need to be filled with more and more of God's word, with more and more of God's spirit. Hallelujah. None of us have likely ever been beaten for sharing the gospel. None of us have ever likely been threatened or imprisoned with death as the early believers were. They prayed for boldness to share the gospel, and God filled them with the Spirit, and they went out and they preached the gospel with even greater boldness. Let's pray the same prayer, because the God that gave them boldness in the face of threat on their life is the same God who can give us boldness. Let's pray, God, fill us afresh with your Spirit and give us great boldness to share our faith. And if you are a little bit hesitant about sharing your faith because you have questions, you don't know exactly how to approach it, I encourage you to join our evangelism team's Monday night talk about it by Zoom, and they talk about how to share your faith naturally. And if you have any questions, or maybe somebody said something to you and you didn't know how to respond to it, they talk about all of that stuff in this Zoom meeting every Monday night. And if you're interested in being a part of that Zoom night, you don't have to come every night, but as often as you can. Brother Ike Obi, the leader of our evangelism ministry, is going to be out front after the service. You can go to him, give him your information. He will send you the Zoom access information. Also, if you want to come out with our evangelism team at some point, you will be paired with somebody who is going out on a regular basis and knows how to present the gospel. So if you're a little timid, you won't even need to speak, but they will help you, and you will begin to see how easy it is. We found the comments I heard over and over again last Saturday was, man, that was so easy. People were so open. And they were. Every person we knocked on their door, they were so open. Folks, we make it harder than it is. We just need to tell people about Jesus and what he's done for us. I heard the story about a Muslim man when he first heard the gospel. And he asked the person who shared with him, he said, how long has this message been around? The person said, about 2,000 years. He said, then why have I never heard it before? He said, there mustn't be any Christians in my country. And the person said, yes, there are. He said, then there must not be any Christians in my city. And the person said, yes, there are. He said, then how could I have never heard the message of Jesus before? He said, I can think of only one reason. You Christians don't really believe your own gospel. Got awful quiet in here. I didn't say it. Don't stone me. Look for that man. Amen. But if we believe the gospel, if we believe that it's the greatest news that anybody could ever hear, that Jesus is the only hope of the world, and that everyone is lost without him, condemned to an eternity of hell apart from Christ, then we would be gripped with an urgency to diligently share the gospel message with everybody, everywhere, every opportunity that we get. Do we really believe the gospel? So you know what? I don't want us to just hear a message today and say amen and go on our way unchanged. So what I want you to do today, and I'll give you an opportunity in a few moments to do this, but just think about it and pray about it for a moment. Let God identify for you three people in your circle of influence. It could be a coworker, a family member, a friend, a neighbor that does not know Jesus. Let God lay them on your heart. And for this month and next month leading up to Easter on April 9th, it's going to be our prayer and share campaign. Pray and share campaign. So for the rest of this month, you're going to be praying for those three names. You can keep praying for them beyond that too. But then next month in March, what are you going to do? You're going to share Jesus with them. And all you have to do is talk about what Jesus has done in your life. Amen? That can open the door. So you're going to pray for them the rest of February. In March, you're going to pray God opens the door, and you're going to share Jesus with them. And then you're going to invite them to come on Easter. You know why? Easter is the day when people are most open to coming to church. So pray for them this month, share Jesus with them next month, and then invite them to come for Easter on April 9th. So be praying right now for those three people that God places on your heart. But I want to speak to those right now that do not yet know Christ, that may be listening to this message here in person or online. You see, the story of Jesus is good news because it is the message that we are all lost and cut off from God, but God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to take our place and to die on the cross for us. So that now when we repent, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we turn away from our sin and we ask God to forgive us, and we turn to God in faith and ask him to help us live for him. The moment we do that, Jesus says we become born again. We are made spiritually alive. We are restored to right relationship with God. And that's the beginning of a lifelong journey of living for God. And if you're here today and you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus, or maybe you're listening online, or perhaps you served Jesus at one time and you've drifted away and you know you need to come back, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer in just a moment. And if you want to come back to Jesus, if you want to be confident that your sins are forgiven and that you are right with God, then I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Would you bow your heads right now? And if you would say, pray for me, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus, or I want to come back to Jesus, would you just slip your hand right up? Just say, pray for me, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus, or I want to come back to Jesus. Just slip your hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? Amen. Thank you for another hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask those that raised your hand just to say a simple prayer with me right now. And as your heart in faith means it, God is going to do exactly what you ask him to do. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I invite you to come and live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to be the first to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and welcome to the family of God. Amen. And that prayer, as I said, is a beginning, not an ending. It's the first step in a lifelong relationship with God. And we want to help you to grow in your faith, in your relationship with the Lord. And so we want to send you free of charge a little booklet that will help you understand what you just prayed and the next steps to take to keep growing in your relationship with God. But in order to do that, we need your email address. So we're going to ask you right now, if you would just, if we could put the altar call slide up, and we're going to ask you to text "I prayed" to the number on the screen. There it is right there. Text "I prayed" to the number on the screen. And if you're online, just type "I prayed" in the comments. We're going to send you a response message a little bit later today with a link. Click that link, fill in your name and email address, and we'll send you this booklet free of charge. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you that just prayed, along with every believer, to do three things regularly to continue growing in your relationship with the Lord. One, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Thank him for the good things in your life. Talk to him about whatever problems, challenges, or decisions you're making, and ask his help. At a very basic level, that's prayer. God wants to hear from you every day. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. You might say, Pastor, how does God talk to us? The number one way is through the Bible. And if you don't have a printed version of the Bible, you can download the YouVersion app, Y-O-U version app, free on your phone or tablet, and you can read there as much as you want. There's never a charge. I encourage you to start reading in a little book in the New Testament called 1 John, who tells us about Jesus and what he has done for us. Just read a few verses every day, 5 or 6 verses before you read. Ask God to help you understand what you're reading. What you do understand, when you're finished reading, ask God to help you to put it into practice in your life. That's how God talks to us. Thirdly, find a local Assembly of God church. And if you're here in the South Florida area, we encourage you to be a part of New Life Assembly. We have a wonderful church family here that will pray for you, encourage you, walk alongside of you, and help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then we encourage you to get connected to an Assembly of God church near you. Don't just attend services, but get connected. Put some roots down. Build some relationships. That's what helps us to grow in our relationship with the Lord. If we do those three things, we will be on our way to a vibrant and growing relationship with the Lord. But once again, congratulations to you. For those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, he is calling each one of us to reignite our heart for his mission. He wants to reignite our passion for the lost. So let's ask God to help move us out of our comfort zones, for God to give us that opportunity in our daily conversations to tell people about Jesus, and that God would fill us with boldness so that our fear of God would overcome our fear of men. And I'm going to ask you that you would ask the Lord right now to pray and lay on your heart the names of 3 unsaved people in your circle. Co-workers, friends, family members, neighbors. And you are committing this morning to pray for them for the rest of this month. And you are going to pray in March that God will open opportunities to share Jesus with them. And then you're going to invite them for Easter Sunday. And if you would say today, God, I want you to reignite my passion for your mission. And Lord, I want to reach 3 people in my life that you lay on my heart so that they would come to know Jesus. If that's your heart's desire, would you stand to your feet and make your way to this altar right now? Just stand to your feet, slip out, and come down to this altar. There's something important about taking that step of faith and commitment as we come to the altar. Hallelujah. Just ask God as you stand here for him to just reignite your passion for his mission, that he would just reignite a fire within your heart for the lost. And ask God to lay on your heart three people and commit to God that you're going to pray for them, that you're going to share Jesus with them next month, and you're going to invite them to church on Easter Sunday. Lift your voice up to the Lord. He wants to hear your voice. Talk to him from your heart right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these who have responded to your word, Lord God, with a readiness of heart that says we don't want to be hearers of your word only, but we want to be doers, Lord God. And so, Father, as we stand before you this morning, we pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit would just fall afresh upon our soul, Lord God, reigniting a holy passion within us, Lord God, to fulfill your mission, to be your witnesses, to share Jesus wherever we go. Father, just give us such a burden for lost people that surround us every single day, Lord God. Stir up within us that spirit, Lord God, of evangelism, Lord. And Father, I pray even now as we stand before you that you would lay on our hearts three people in our lives, Lord God, that do not know Jesus. Lay them on our heart right now. And as we pray this morning, begin to work in their hearts, Lord God, to soften the hardened ground, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would work in the circumstances of their life to break them and to show them their need for Jesus. And Father, as we stand before you, we pray that you would open opportunities in our daily interactions and conversations with them to sow the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life. Help us to be a witness to them, Lord God, and open doors of conversation that we will be able to share Jesus and what he has done for us, Lord God. And give us the boldness. Give us the boldness to talk to them about Jesus. And give us the boldness to invite them to your house. We are praying for a harvest of souls, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.